Thank you very much. I had an undergraduate student who began helping me with this research, but she went off to grad school. I lost contact with her. So her name is in the program, but she's not here today. I actually have another colleague who's helping me with the qualitative analysis here, and she's not here, so I'm sort of representing everyone. And this study was funded by the Office of Research and Sponsored Programs at SUNY Potsdam, which is the college I was at before I moved to my current position. And to start off, just how I got into this topic. As of 2011, 53% of women in the United States enter pregnancy in a state of obesity or overweight. So now we have the majority of women, majority of pregnant women being overweight or obese. And we know that maternal obesity is a risk factor for many different poor birth outcomes, including infertility, miscarriage, blood clots, hypertension, birth defects, fetal overgrowth, gestational diabetes, etc. But what I found most interesting, and I have them bolded here, is these last two poor birth outcomes. Because in my lit review, a lot of the research that I've seen has been focused on the physiological processes of obesity and how that affects the biology of the fetus. There doesn't seem to be a lot of research taking a biopsychosocial approach. And so I decided to look at or start conceptualizing about preterm birth and cesarean delivery first. And so for preterm birth, what do we know? Well, we know that discrimination is actually a risk factor for preterm birth. And we know in studies of African American women in particular that racial discrimination is a risk factor for preterm birth. So African American women experiencing the dual discrimination due to their gender and to their race are at risk for preterm birth. We also know that there is widespread stigma in the United States against obese women. And so I kind of put those pieces together. In addition, we know that women are more likely to experience obesity stigma because our culture has specific norms about attractiveness. And if you don't fit into those norms, then you're more likely to be the target of discrimination. And then there was the subject of obesity and cesarean delivery, and there's been a lot of work done around that, again, from a biological perspective. So here are the results of a review, basically showing that an obese woman has twice the risk of having a cesarean delivery than a woman who is of normal weight, and morbidly obese women more than triple the risk. And a lot of the studies have been focused, again, on the physiological processes of why do obese women need C-sections more often than women of normal weight. And there's been a lot of discussion about the role of hormones and how they are diffuse in a woman of larger size and labor may be less effective. And there is some evidence for that. However, as a midwife, it's always been questionable to me, if you have a population of women who are already at risk for blood clots, why are they being put on this train towards surgical delivery? And I was very happy to find that in 2011, there was a study published by two obstetricians who found that BMI is a risk factor for induction and earlier decision to perform surgery. So physicians are more likely to induce a woman who is obese and less likely to be patient with her throughout her labor. So even though she may take a little bit longer, she's not being given the time to do that. So this study is showing that differences in how providers practice actually has an influence on birth outcomes. So as I was conceptualizing, I sort of came up with this model. And again, this is a work in progress, so I'd appreciate your feedback. But basically, I thought that we have, you know, we have obesity, we have stress, and we know that stress actually induces physiological processes that can increase fat retention. We know that stress can lead to poor coping behaviors like overeating that can complicate the problem. And with some of these other research, I thought, well, if we have obesity stigma causing increased stress, how will that affect the pregnancy? And then if we have providers treating obese women differently from other women, then provider bias, provider practices might play a role in that as well. But so far, a lot of the research has been on, you know, why do obese women have all these problems? And to me, it almost seems like a blaming the victim approach and not really considering the fact of the psychological aspect and what other people are doing to compound the problem. So I came up with this conceptual model, and I was really excited about it, and I thought, well, that's great, but we don't have any tools to test this because there really aren't any tools specifically designed for women in maternity care that measure obesity stigma. And so I started out with this as being a completely exploratory study just to see what was out there and to see what women were experiencing and try to listen to their voices. So this was, and I don't have a slide here for methods, but I can say very briefly, this was not a really rigorous study. This was a convenient sample of women. They were recruited from websites and blogs designed for pregnant women of size. You'll see in a minute that it was not as representative as we had hoped, and I sent out a separate email to listservs for mothers of color, hoping to get more representative from African-American women, but I did not really achieve that. And then a subset of women agreed to an in-depth interview to ask them about their experiences. So I had 112 pregnant and recently postpartum women who took a brief online survey, and this was... There's a tool called the Stigmatizing Situations Inventory that's used to measure obesity stigma, but so far it's basically been used in either primary care or people who are at weight loss clinics. It hasn't been used in pregnant women yet. So, again, this is a work in progress. I don't have a lot of statistical data for you. I just thought that I would show this to you. Unfortunately, the sample was predominantly white. We did have some representation from Hispanics, Native Americans, actually, which I was a bit surprised to see. This was self-reported BMI data, so the average respondent was 5'7", weighing 264 pounds for a BMI of 41. I don't have other demographic data, but most of these women tended to be more well-educated. So again, not necessarily representative of all women in the United States. So this is an example of who provided their maternity care. It's a little bit heavy on midwives. Midwives in general do not provide this much prenatal care for a variety of different reasons. This may have occurred since I am a midwife. A lot of midwives are excited about the fact that they do research and tend to recommend to their clients that they participate. We also saw a trend that some women were leaving traditional obstetrical care because they were worried about weight bias, and so they were turning to midwives, so I'll talk about that a little bit. So this shows a scale where one is never and four is always, and this is referring to the women's provider. So the most common responses was that the provider said that their weight was a problem even when they were in good health. That the provider told them frequently about the bad things that could happen to their baby because of their weight, and that their provider made them feel guilty for being overweight and pregnant. Now, these are just averages, but the average approach sometimes. So on average, some women said they never experienced these. Some women said that they experienced all the time. I was also interested in looking at their experiences with the office staff, the nurses, the clerks, and other people in the office who interacted with them about their weight. And there seemed to be less negative experiences with the office staff, although in the in-depth interviews, the women did mention a few cases where that did occur. So not as common as with the provider. And this related to the physical setup of the office. Was it conducive to women of size? So things like having larger blood pressure cuffs, making sure that gowns fit, and making sure that chairs were comfortable. The major problem seen here was that in some cases the patient gowns did not fit comfortably, and sometimes the women actually brought their own gowns to the outfit or to the appointment so they would feel more comfortable. One woman, after she had a C-section, could not find those disposable underwear in her size after the surgery. So things like that, little practical things that made them uncomfortable. But for now, I just want to focus on the in-depth qualitative research. And these were some of the themes that we found. And what we did is... Malterud and Ulrichsen, they're from a Scandinavian country, I'm probably not pronouncing their names properly, but they did a meta-ethnography which is basically a meta-analysis for qualitative studies. And they had analyzed a variety of qualitative studies on obesity stigma. And the ones that I've marked with asterisks were themes that we found in our research that were also represented in this meta-ethnography. And the ones that are not asterisked were ones that we found that were specific to this population of women in maternity care. So, oh my goodness. So I'm just going to put up some examples and let the women speak for themselves, and I just want to talk a little bit about these themes briefly. So one of the themes was exclusion. Many of these women had to work very hard to find a provider who would accept them. Even if they had no other health problems simply because of their BMI, they risked out of care. And then another interesting one was this risk-outcome equivalency. Many women in this study said that their providers felt that because they were overweight, they were doomed to have the complications associated with obesity. Not that, so if you have the risk factor, it's going to happen to you. So I'm rejecting you on the basis of BMI because I know you will be preeclamptic. I know you will have diabetes, even when that didn't happen. There were instances of women being treated with contempt by providers or office staff. Some of them used the word bullying. They felt that it recalled to them their schoolyard days when they were bullied by other students. Some people said that their provider's advice was appropriate, but they felt that it was delivered in a patronizing manner or that it was meant overly personal. No, I'm skipping through these quickly. And then a really interesting one was inappropriate assumptions. Several women commented that the providers made assumptions about them based on their size, particularly dietary assumptions. So we had several women say that they don't even really know enough about me to know what I'm eating, but they assume that I'm eating the wrong things. So, for example, we had a vegan whose doctor told her, oh, well, you've got to stop eating McDonald's. She's like, well, I don't eat McDonald's. Or you have to stop eating cookies, or you have to stop drinking soda. In women who didn't eat cookies or who didn't drink soda. But the assumption was you are heavy because you have these unhealthy habits. And the providers didn't really ask the women if they were doing these things. So the women were offended by that. Then some women reported very appropriate counseling, very unbiased. You have a slightly higher risk of X, Y, and Z. This is what we need to do about it, but not with a personal or disrespectful tone. And then the last one, sort of running the gamut from exclusion, was empowering, with some women felt said that for the first time in their lives they felt proud of their body because their provider gave them that sense of empowerment at the time of pregnancy and birth. So conclusions, women of size had a variety of different experiences, ranging from empowerment to contempt and exclusion. So it is out there, and now the next step would be to develop and validate tools to measure these things, and also to get a more representative sample of women. And I'm particularly interested in the experiences of race and ethnicity and how this impacts. For example, some studies suggest that African-American women of size are more likely to be seen as attractive in those communities. So how does that experience throughout their lifetime impact their experience? Does that mediate it in any way? Or now do they face the triple threat of being black and a woman and fat? So I think those are interesting things. And then once we have these tools, I'd like to collaborate with others to see if there is indeed an association between obesity stigma and poor birth outcomes. And I think that there is. So those are my references. Thank you very much.